The whole idea of costumed characters is really weird for me. Something about them just doesn't really sit right. Strange men and women inside of some fake joyful outfit with unknown intentions, getting up close and personal with you. Well, I'll tell you something. One year I was desperate for money and I took a job as one of them. And you don't know the half of it. That year I discovered something taking place in Disney's costuming department that you will never believe. The first character I did was Chip from Chip and Dale, because I was relatively short. Getting to work for such a large company is interesting because you come in knowing so little. It seems like every week you learn new things about where things are located and how you can most efficiently do your job. The cool thing about being a performer, though, is that unlike most jobs in the park, you actually get to go around to different locations, and you have a bit more freedom. Not to mention, many more breaks. Anyways, the day this all started, I was scheduled for a shift in Magic Kingdom, and was getting ready in the break room inside of the Utilidors. I was around a corner relaxing, when I heard one of my coworkers say something really strange. It was this girl, Elizabeth, a much more experienced performer than me, who generally had a quiet yet self-assured demeanor. She was what was known as a character captain, and basically was like a director for costumed characters. So that meant she had been doing this for many years. She was sitting in the corner talking to one of the higher-ups, an older male manager with a look of regret on his face. The weird thing was she had tears in her eyes, and just kept shaking her head, saying she wasn't ready. But the manager kept telling her it was her turn, and she'd been trained for this. There were a lot of really crappy jobs in the park, but I had never seen anyone crying before when they were told to do something. It kind of freaked me out, to be honest. The manager took her hand and said, "I'm sorry, but you volunteered for this," as if scolding a teenage daughter. The man put his hand out and, crying a bit more, she took it. Then they headed out the back door of the break room. The whole thing really triggered my curiosity. So I followed them through the back door and went down an unfamiliar hallway that I'd never been down before. I saw this secure access door closing up ahead and figured they'd gone in there. Before even really thinking about it, I stopped the door with the bottom of my shoe and stood there for a moment. I was a little worried about what I was getting myself into, but at the same time I just kept thinking about her crying. They must have been forcing her to do something really bad. And what if somehow I ended up having to do something like that? So I peeked through the door and saw that it led to a large dimly lit area with multiple rows of old costumes hanging from them. I quickly snuck in and hid behind a large coat on one of the racks. I started hearing sounds coming from the other end of the room, along with whispering. I peeked out and saw Elizabeth and our manager standing at the end of one of the rows. He had a hand on one of her shoulders and seemed like he was trying to calm her down. I distinctly remember hearing him say, "They won't know you're afraid unless you show them." They then stepped towards a row of steel doors, and the manager typed a code into a keypad on the wall. One of the doors then slowly began to lift, and out of it came the sound of a strange, delighted growl. Elizabeth cautiously stepped forward. In a clearly trained, soft voice, she began to speak in this strange language. It almost sounded like pig Latin, but a little different. Irie ongle vice, something like that. Then the creature from inside the cell again let out this weird growl and pounded on the metal inside. Elizabeth turned and looked at the manager, clearly a little confused as to how to proceed. He opened his eyes wide and whispered, "This one hasn't been out in some time." Elizabeth looked back in the cell and mustered up all the courage she had. "Vikche!" she yelled into the shadows. Slowly these arms began to creep towards her. I could barely make them out, but noticed they were dark and had these torn white gloves at the end of them. As it approached, I began to notice the silhouette of a deformed-looking Mickey Mouse. It had a fleshy, wrinkled face, which drooped down around a jaw filled with dangerously sharp teeth, but its arms were the most terrifying part. They were malformed and out of proportion, and they jutted out from the rest of the body like a giant spider. Elizabeth pulled out an old photo of Walt Disney and Mickey Mouse shaking hands in front of Disneyland back in the day. The creature stopped for a moment and focused intently on it, beginning to shake violently. Its limbs and body trembled as it mutated into a more accurate Mickey Mouse. I looked over at one of the Mickey Mouse heads on the rack beside me and couldn't tell the difference. I must have accidentally bumped into a piece of clothing, though, because I heard a belt slide off a hanger and land on the ground. The Mickey-esque creature turned in my direction and screeched this horrible, awful sound. Then from another cell, I began to hear the sound of a demented Goofy start to laugh. The Mickey grabbed Elizabeth, opening its jaws and tearing into her arm. The manager started jabbing the creature with this electric baton, shocking him and forcing him back into his cell. It then knocked the baton out of his hand, and he hit a button on the wall, sounding an alarm. The entire room flooded with this flashing red light, and armed men began to pour in from a stairway in the back. One of them was carrying this futuristic pulse rifle-looking weapon, and began to spray some sort of steam out of it. As quickly as I could, I snuck to the back of the room through the costumes and hid inside a storage closet. Inside the closet was a box up on the shelf, and inside it, there was a folder labeled Xenothog. Inside the folder, there was a stack of photos similar to the one Elizabeth had been holding. As I dug through it, it painted a much different story than I had ever imagined Disney in the past. They were photos of those disturbing creatures, and they were standing next to Disney costume characters as if trying to emulate their shape. There was also a document up on the wall labeled Xenothog Standard Operating Procedures, which had a list of rules on it. Number 1. Only allow guest contact with the Xenothogs when proper security detail is present. Number 2. If the Xenothogs make any impulsive action towards a guest or cast member, immediately relocate to an offstage location and contact emergency containment unit. Number 3. When a Xenothog selects its prey, gather tracking details and disperse a collection team. Number 4. The Xenothogs require sustenance no less than once every 6 months. And if there is any reason this requirement cannot be met, please submit an emergency notification to park operations via your direct supervisor. As soon as I read that last rule, I heard a loud bang and the sounds of another creature screaming beginning to echo through the room. I took that as a pretty obvious sign to run. Just as I exited the closet, I saw one of the troops getting lifted by this enormously tall Goofy, and the room began to fill up with gas from these vents up above. I immediately opened the door and ran out. I tried telling several people, but they just looked at me like I was crazy. I never showed up again for a shift there and have not set foot on Disney property ever again. I have to assume, since I didn't hear anything about it on the news, that they somehow contained the disaster. I still to this day don't know how long that's been going on for, or what kind of deal Disney struck up with those beings, but I would assume the plot goes up higher than any of us would imagine. So if you or a loved one is ever going to meet characters at the park, just remember you never really know who it is you're building a connection with. The most worrisome thing about those suits is that they might not even be one at all. Hey, it's Mr. Freaky. I hope you enjoyed that original creepypasta. And if you did, go ahead and like the video, as well as subscribe to my channel if you haven't done that yet. Also, if you have an idea for the next video, leave it in the comments. Have a horrific evening, and remember to stay spooky, my friends.